We turn to read God's word. We're turning to the New Testament and to the letter to the Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we'll be reading from verse 12 to verse 30. Philippians chapter 1. It's on page number 1147. Page 1147. Philippians chapter 1. And we'll be reading from verse 12, halfway down the first page. This is God's word. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to see you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Amen. And we ask that God will bless to us the reading of his word. If you'll turn back in God's word to the passage that we read from earlier, so it's Philippians chapter 1, back on page 1147. And we're thinking in particular of one verse this morning. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And here we have a short, remarkable sentence. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I wonder what you think of a statement like that. What is it that you live for? Some people live for their families. They live for their job. They live for their leisure time, their hobbies, or sport. But what is it that you live for? Or who do you live for? Paul, the apostle, is writing this letter, and he makes it clear that for him, for me, to live is Christ. But then there's a second part to this statement. To die is gain. What do you think about that? What is it that you will die to? What will you gain at the end of your life? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever considered it? What do you make of this statement? Well, I want us this morning to look at this statement found in this letter to the church in Philippi. The context of these verses is that they are written by this man called Paul. He was a man who was changed by Jesus Christ. He was a man who traveled to tell others about Jesus Christ. And here, Paul is now in prison. He's in prison in Rome. And he's writing this letter to this church. He's chained to a soldier every day. This great missionary, this powerful preacher, this man who was really at the forefront of the church advancing, of proclaiming the good news, this man who was so involved is now under arrest. And Paul is dealing with the question, what's going to happen to the gospel? Now that I am in chains, what will happen to the good news? And that was one of the questions that these people wanted answered. They were concerned not just about Paul, but also about the good news, the gospel, the preaching. What's going to happen now? Back in verses 12 to 18, Paul is dealing with the gospel. And he says, don't worry about what is going to happen to the gospel. The good news, it hasn't been hindered by my circumstances. In fact, if anything, my difficult circumstances have helped the spread of the gospel. My being in chains, this difficulty that has come along, it isn't going to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ going out. Then in verses 19 to 26, Paul is going to deal with this other concern that the Philippians have. Well, Paul, what about you yourself? We know that you're in prison. We know your difficult circumstances. What is going to happen to you in your difficult circumstances? Paul is saying to them, don't worry about the gospel and don't worry about me. Because for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In difficult circumstances, Paul has great confidence. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do you make of that statement? This morning, as we look at this statement, I want us to see that there is a confidence that we can have as Christians. We can have this statement as our slogan for life. This can be our motto. This can be our confidence and assurance as those who love Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ. This morning, I want us to leave here knowing that for us, we can say, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain, even in difficult circumstances. Well, let's look at this wonderful statement this morning, and I have 2 points. The first point is, to live is Christ. Can you guess what the second point will be? First point is, to live is Christ. Well, who was Paul? Well, he was Jesus Christ's man. That's what defined him. If you said to Paul, "Paul, who are you?" His response would be, "I am one of Christ's. I've been changed by Christ. I live for him and he lives in me." You see, Paul's life is now bound up with Jesus Christ. Beforehand, he was known as Saul. He was a man who hated the Christians. He hated the church. In fact, he persecuted the church. He had men and women thrown into prison. But one day, he met with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ changed this man's heart. He brought him from sin into life. He brought him from Satan's kingdom into his own kingdom. Paul is now a changed man, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that is to be the same for us. Our life is to be in Christ. Our lives are to be defined and determined by Jesus Christ. Our lives are to come under the rule and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We're to be new creations like Paul. King Jesus is to be our Savior. He's to live in us by his Spirit. For me, to live is Christ. Well, let's look at how Paul describes living for Christ in these verses. And we see that Paul lives for Christ by honoring him. Look at verse 20. He lives for Christ by honoring him. Look at the end of verse 20 especially. He talks about the things that have happened to him, but he knows that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. Then he says, whether by life or by death. Magnified. We've seen that word twice already in the Psalms that we have sung. What does the word magnified mean? It means to make large. It means to declare. It means to proclaim the greatness and the glory and the splendor of something. It means to share with others so that they can see how great this person is. And who is it that Paul wants to magnify or honor? It's Jesus Christ. That's what it means to say, for me to live is Christ. It means to magnify Jesus Christ, to declare him to others, to show other people just how great and wonderful our Savior is. It means to say to ourselves, I am going to show Jesus Christ to others through every circumstance that God brings me into. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to declare him. I'm going to show just how faithful and loving a Savior he is. I'm going to speak for him. I want people around me to know just how wonderful Jesus Christ is. For me to live is Christ. It means to honor Christ, to magnify him, to show his glory, his wonder, his splendor, his majesty to others. Paul says, you don't need to worry about me. You don't need to worry about the circumstances that I'm in. Because in these circumstances, I am living for Christ, and I am doing it by magnifying Him, honoring Him. Well, how else does Paul live for Christ? What does it mean to live as Christ? Not only by honoring Him, but also by serving Him. We live for Christ by serving Him. Look at verse 22, the other side of this statement. If I live on in the flesh, so Paul is saying, if it's God's will for me that I'm still alive, that will mean fruit from my labor. Paul is going to labor for Christ. He's going to serve Christ. Fruitful labor. As long as I live, I will continue to give myself in the service of Jesus. In this case, Paul's fruitful service, his fruitful labor, he's talking about for the Philippians themselves. We see that in verse 24 and verse 25. He says that to remain in the flesh is more needful for them. It's better for them. There's something that Paul can be doing for them if he is still alive. There's still work that Paul can be doing. Even though he's a prisoner in chains in Rome, he can still be helpful to this church way out in Philippi on the eastern border of Europe. Paul can pray for them. That's part of his serving Christ Jesus. That's part of his living for Christ, praying for these other Christians. Paul can encourage them. He's written them this letter. He could also write them other letters, and possibly he did do that. And as he did in other places, and as he will do along with this letter, he sends out aid to them. He sends other people to go and minister to them. So Paul still has work that he can be doing for Christ, even in these difficult circumstances that he's in. Even in the midst of being in prison, Paul is living for Christ by serving, by being active in prayer, by considering the needs of others, to live is Christ. That happens through serving Him. That happens through laboring for Christ, praying for other Christians, speaking and reaching out where we can, upholding the needs of brothers and sisters in Christ, looking to their needs, looking for their benefit, their joy in the faith. Paul lives for Christ by honoring Him, by serving Him. And then thirdly, Paul lives for Christ, to live as Christ, by submitting to Him. Verse 22 and 23. Paul says, I'm in a dilemma. I don't know what to choose. I've the choice. Well, it's not really Paul's choice at this stage. But for Paul, the dilemma is to either remain alive in prison, which will mean fruitful labor, or there's another choice which will happen to Paul eventually. He will be put to death. He will be executed. Paul knows that this is on the horizon. But Paul is saying, you know, whatever one of those comes along, I'm willing to accept it. I'm going to submit to whatever God has planned. I'm going to submit my life to King Jesus. Paul's desire is something more than living and breathing. But Paul is going to put his wants and desires to one side. Because he knows that It's all about Christ. And I'm going to be ready to submit to him in whatever he calls me to do. I'm going to submit to his plan and purpose for my life. There are things that Paul wants to do. One of them is he wants to go back to the Philippians to see them again. Something that Paul wanted to do was to be free in Rome, to go and see the church there and to preach the gospel there out in the open. But Paul says, I'm going to put my own desires, my own wants to one side, because I'm going to submit to Christ. And whatever Jesus Christ has planned, whatever his will is, that is what I am going to do. Where Jesus Christ brings me to, the circumstances that he has brought me into now, no matter how difficult, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm here because this is where you have me. That's what it means to live for Christ, to submit. Lord, my desires and wants, I'm going to set them aside. Because this is the circumstance that you have brought me into. And so I'm going to serve in this circumstance, in this situation. To live is Christ. Is your life defined and determined by Christ Jesus? Is your whole life centered on him? Do you honor him? Do you serve him? Do you submit to him? If so, then you too can be saying, for me to live is Christ. Now, many people replace Christ with other things. A lot of people out in the world, they will say, for me to live is work. For me to live is my enjoyment. For me to live is making money. For me to live is my family. What is it that occupies your mind? What fills your waking moments? Well, surely for the Christian, it should be Jesus Christ. My life in Christ. My Savior who loved me and gave himself for me. For me to live is Christ. There is no other life worth living. There is no other life worth pursuing. For me to live is Christ. Can you say this morning with this confidence, even in difficult circumstances, for me to live is honoring, serving, and submitting to Jesus Christ. To live is Christ. And then secondly, my second point, to die is gain. To die is gain. We don't like to think about death. But Paul does. In fact, Paul says in verse 23, my desire is to depart. The word depart here in verse 23, it comes from a word that means to cut free a ship's moorings. It means to break the ties. My desire, Paul says, is to break free from this life, to be cut away from this life. Now, Paul isn't going to take his own life. That's in the hands of God. He's submitting to Christ and Christ's will. If it's God's plan to keep Paul alive in this prison and not be executed, then Paul says, I'm going to accept that because it will mean more honoring of Christ, more serving Christ, more submitting to Christ, more living for Christ. But Paul's deep desire
is to depart.
To understand why this is Paul's focus, we need to really look at verse 23. My desire, or having a desire to depart and be with Christ. To die is gain. To die for the Christian, it means to have more of Jesus. It means to be with our Savior face to face. It means to see Him as He is in His heavenly glory. To die means to be made perfect in His presence. Heaven is where we will be closer to Jesus. Heaven is where there will be no pain, no suffering, no weeping. Heaven is where everything will be made perfect and where we will be with Jesus Christ forever, where we will experience the fullness on the closeness of our Savior, to be with Him where He is. That is why Paul says death is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is more Christ. To be with Him, to see Him, to worship in the perfection of eternal glory. For the Christian, death is gain. If this morning, if you're one of Christ Jesus's, if you have confessed your sin to God, if you trust and believe in Christ as your Savior, then your death for you is going to be gain. It's going to mean more Christ. Normally we talk of death in terms of loss. When someone dies, we say, I'm sorry for your loss. Their passing is a real loss to that church, to that society, to their family, to the community. But for the Christian, the wonderful thing is that death isn't a loss. For the believer who dies, they haven't lost anything. But in fact, they have gained so much more. How wonderful for that believer who has passed into glory. No loss. Nothing has been lost, but everything has been gained. But death is a loss if you are outside of Jesus Christ. Dying outside of Christ means that you will experience the greatest loss possible. If you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to think seriously about this. Look at what Paul is saying here. For the man, for the woman, or for the child who is in Jesus Christ, death for them is gain. For the Christian, death means more Christ. It's deliverance that we sang about in our first psalm. It's the immediate passing of our soul into the presence of Christ. But if you're not a Christian, cannot say that. There is no gain for you when you die. Isn't this one of the things that spurs us on to witness to others? Isn't this why you're here in Derry? Gateway Fellowship. Isn't this why you want to see people coming in? Because you know that outside of Jesus Christ, the death of those in this community is complete loss for them. because outside of Jesus Christ, we will experience no more of the good things that God gives to us in this life. Even for those who think their life is worthless, even for those who think that their circumstances are a mess, those who desire to escape this life, outside of Christ, they're going to lose even more in death, because it is the eternal punishment of God, the punishment that every one of us deserves. There is no gain for the unbeliever. If we can't say, "For me to live is Christ," then we can't say to die is gain. And that's what brings us back round again to Jesus Christ. And our hope in this life, it is only found in Christ. The very one that Paul focuses on. The one who gave himself and who took the punishment that we deserve. And it's this same Jesus Christ that, who comes to us and who changes us from the inside. It's this same Jesus Christ who lives in us, this beautiful Son of God who hung on the cross for guilty sinners. He is our only hope. And so our motto for life, to live as Christ, to die as gain, it's the motto that we go out into the world with. It's what we share with unbelievers. We are saying to them, do you know? Do you not realize that there is hope for this life? And it is found in this Jesus Christ, this one who is to be magnified. And outside of him, there is no hope. But there is only loss. What do you make of the statement, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain"? What great confidence Paul has here. If I'm to continue living, it will mean living for Christ Jesus, honoring him, serving him, submitting to him. Fruitful labor for Christ. What joy there is in life for the Christian, even in the most difficult of circumstances. How great it is to live for Christ. But if it's his will that I die, then for the Christian it's gain. I will lose nothing in dying, but it will mean more Christ, being with him for eternity. What is it that defines you? What is your motto in life? What is the confidence that you have? Trust and I pray that it's this same confidence of Paul, even in the most difficult of circumstances. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen.